This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell, encouraging you to join us as we seek to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. This is the Lord who, no matter what came his way, even coming against him, he was resilient. He kept walking forward into God's will for his life. How do we do that? You, me. I mean, we've got these challenges, not just out there, but in here in our hearts and souls, maybe wounds, maybe questions, confusion. And to deal with this topic, we bring a special guest into the studio today. Her name is Donna Gibbs. She's a Christian counselor. She has been since 1998. And Donna is co-owner of what's called Summit Wellness Centers here in Western North Carolina, from where we broadcast. And Donna, you've written a book called Becoming Resilient. And I just thought, this is so perfect to think about how to walk it more like Jesus, because we get pulled back. When we get hit hard, sometimes we want to give up. Mm-hmm. So thank you for this. How did you come up with the title?
Well, the name resilient is a pretty popular word right now, and it means that you bounce back. I use the thought of a bouncy ball when I think about resilience. I'm very, very simple-minded in that way, and that a bouncy ball bounces back and goes further than its starting point. And that's really what we're after when we experience suffering. It's the universal struggle for everyone, and resilience is the name that describes it best, but it's not something that just automatically happens. We have to become resilient. There's a process of getting there.
Right when I saw your title, this verse came to mind. And in a minute, I'll ask you for maybe a verse that comes to your mind in writing the book, or, you know, anything like that, if you wish. But for me, as I think about people who are resilient, those who follow Jesus, the big dudes in the New Testament, Peter and Paul, are a focus of the book of history, Acts. And it kind of starts with Peter goes to Paul. So Peter, in 2 Peter 1, he talks about how we should add to our faith virtue, knowledge. And he goes to this list of these qualities that help us to become ones who follow Christ well, who walk in the path he set for us. But he goes on with this: add to your knowledge steadfastness. And this word, as I studied the Greek, it literally means resilience. It's the idea not just that you hold up under the pressure, but you bounce up from it.
Right.
And you just keep on going with a positive attitude. You're moving forward in the way you should go.
Right.
So that's something that really came out. Is there a verse in your life, maybe a life verse or something that ties to the book you might want to share? So is that kind of the idea that your book, that when the pressures come, we're not just in the pressure cooker, but we come out stronger?
Yes, exactly. And there are many things in life that are so tragic, so unthinkable, that we don't actually get over it. And so you don't necessarily bounce back to where you were. Life won't necessarily
Isn't
be the same
true?
Again.
Yeah.
But you may bounce forward into a place of strength where you're actually stronger than where you started. You're changed, though, by it.
You know, like Jacob, he wrestles an angel and he goes out limping. You think, poor guy's weaker, but he was spiritually stronger and given the name Prince with God, Israel.
Yes.
And we all know the name. We know the nation. Coming out of a man who became resilient. So that's kind of the idea, is that if I lost a loved one, I may always grieve. I may never seem to get out of that deep sense of loss. But actually, spiritually, I might have become humbler, more capable of helping others, stronger spiritually. Wow. I bet you see that a lot. And I bet you see times in your counseling through the years where people just don't get out of a rut. They're stuck. Is that right?
That is exactly right. And, you know, oftentimes someone will come to counseling because they've been stuck for a long, long time. And it seems like their life is forever stunted and changed. They want to be out of it, but they don't know how. And it feels scary even to think about how. So yes, the reason that I wrote the book was out of a season of seeing so many people face significant suffering. I mean, true, legitimate suffering, tragedy, trauma, just unthinkable pain. But I began to notice that there was a difference between those who began to thrive, who began to bounce back, versus those who stayed stuck. And there were some different strategies that those who were resilient used to become resilient.
Wow. Well, let's back up just a little bit and talk about suffering.
Okay.
Because I imagine from your book and your experience, this is important that people think about the source of their suffering. And I imagine in the end, after thinking about it and thinking about God, we don't even need to know the source. But let's talk about sources. Mm-hmm. So I think you've mentioned kind of three places suffering might come from.
Right. And I'll preface even before I go there and just saying suffering is normal. That in America, we work so very hard to insulate ourselves from pain. We spend a lot of our economy, really, in seeking comfort from pain.
Yes.
But pain and suffering is inevitable, that we are all going to face some hurts and challenges, true pains in life. And they do have three different origins. The first of those is our own sin. That, yes, this is not everything, as some theologians may throw out, that if there's something horrible going on in your life, it's a result of your own sin. That is not, certainly not always the case. But there are some times in which we bring on some suffering. And I'll give you an example. If I have an affair, I am going to bring on some consequences. And those consequences are going to create a degree of suffering in my life. Suffering can also be brought on by the sin of other people. And you think of, I mean, we think back in our history, Adolf Hitler is an example of that. He brought on, his sin brought on tremendous amounts of suffering to those who were undeserving. The same was true of Jesus himself. He endured a ridiculous amount of suffering to the point of death. And it was not his fault at all. It was brought on by other people. And then we think about hurtings at the hands of God, hands of Satan, and what that means, natural disasters, things like that, that nobody's caused it. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a disease and there's no reasoning for it, but we're wrestling with it. We've got hurricanes that, you know, we just came out of one. We're just getting ready to go into another. We're watching out on the coast, and nobody's fault, but it's going to create some suffering.
Yes, I'm pulling up a verse right now, and this is, to me, it's not about, you know, being a Bible quoter. It's like, this is so packed with wisdom, and it's why I mentioned the idea that sometimes we don't even know the source of our suffering, and it's okay if we know how to deal with it and get out of the rut. But James says, consider it pure joy, sisters, brothers, when you face many kinds of trials. Mm-hmm. And the word there means from various sources, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and that's the word, again, that I'm talking about that came out of 2 Peter 1. Look, perseverance, finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mm-hmm. If you like wisdom, ask God will give it to you. And I think God then might help us see the source, and whether or not it's partly from our own sin, whether it's just something you couldn't help, it's out there, someone else's effect in our lives. So do you believe that? I mean, this verse is saying we can actually look at the thing that's putting us down and hitting us hard, knocking us over and crippling us, and we can rejoice in it. That's crazy. It's just crazy, don't it?
But resilience, those who are truly resilient, they understand that suffering gives them a stage and that suffering gives purpose. And, you know, I think of Paul. Yeah. He's a wonderful example. He was a purpose chaser. He had, you know, he had his own past. He could have been stuck because of the things that he had done to other people and felt so badly about that, that he was stuck there. But he embraced that new name that was given by God, and he embraced the suffering that he endured. He endured immeasurable amount of suffering as following Christ, and there was purpose that came from it. But there's a key word in that scripture, perseverance. You don't get resilience if you give up.
Yeah.
If you quit, you miss the opportunity to become resilient.
So I think the word perseverance here in the Greek, it literally means resilience. I mean, it's just, it means don't just endure it, rise through it.
Thrive in
becomes,
it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's such a powerful thought. When you mentioned Paul, I just can't help but think at times when I read his letters as he's in prison, unfairly, unjustly. We have no idea how much he suffered. It was me. I'd start listing what I'm going through. Hey, guys, it's freezing in here. My back is covered with bloody bruises because of what they did to me. And I really feel bad, and I'm lonely, and I'd be complaining, you know? He doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
he's writing to the churches, building them up in faith. Where does that come from?
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff we're talking about.
It is. And it comes from his perspective on it. He also sang. It comes from perspective. This is an interesting story. I don't remember the name of the young girl. She was thrown down in a well. I don't know if you remember. This was probably back in the 80s. And she was at her aunt's house. Her aunt provided a daycare center. And she fell into this well, deep, deep into this well. It's just a young toddler. And those who were in the process of rescuing her said, "She's singing, she's crying, she's humming, she's singing." And just that childlike, she would acknowledge her pain, she acknowledged her suffering, and she also sang through it. And it reminds me of Paul, that he would have acknowledged, and he did many times in Scripture, he acknowledged how painful his suffering was, and he also sang through it, and he chased purpose.
And we mentioned here, quoting from James 1, this guy is a brother of Jesus. He and other brothers were mocking this Jesus Christ, claiming to be the Messiah, and kind of helped create the path to put him on the cross.
Mm.
And James came at some point to realize what he had done and who Christ really was. And they call him camel knees because he'd be down in prayer so much that he had these thick calluses on his knees. But he led the suffering church. So here today, we've got Christians around the world that are suffering for their faith.
Yes.
There are more martyrs today. People die for their faith than any other time in history, partly because of the size of the world population, Christianity being the largest religion, but it's a reality, but not so much, as you said, in America. So do you think we can learn from, if we will do a better job maybe of opening our hearts to those, as Paul said, remember those in prison as though you're with them in prison. You know, remembering those who are suffering, will that help us maybe live the life better here?
And even look into your neighbor. That your neighbor may not be persecuted in the way they would be if they were overseas somewhere, but they're suffering somewhere.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we work so hard to insulate ourselves from that pain that we don't even know how to respond when a neighbor is hurting, when a loved one is in pain, out of sight, out of mind. And so if we can just first acknowledge that suffering is a normal part of life, Solomon talked about that in Ecclesiastes. He described there's a time for this and a time for this and a time for this and a time for this. It's almost, if you were just looking at statistics, it would look like it was half and half. Now, it may not be packaged quite that predictably, but it is a normal part of life. Mm.
So it's interesting, early on you mentioned how we don't in America do well with suffering. And I've thought about this a lot and done some writing. But so when we have other cultures and religions, the way they deal with suffering is, you know, if you're in India, if you happen to be a Hindu, it's your karma. And so you're just saying it's basically fatalism. You know, if you're a Muslim where you believe Allah controls everything, it's like a determinism, but you don't really necessarily grow through it. The emphasis is on a God that maybe doesn't have a real purpose for it. If you're an American, typically suffering is something we avoid. We medicate our pain, and we put up billions of dollars to try to do that. But the Bible says suffering will help you grow more like me, Jesus says. So go through it. Don't try to go around it. Grow through it. And when we look at the history of Christianity, it used to be, for example, in medieval Europe, that people would suffer and they assume, just what you were saying, Donna, it's just part of life. And back then, people might lose 80% of their children, you know, just to nature, trying to bring children into the world. Sickness is rampant. Whereas today you live till maybe close to 80, you know, back then you might have been in mid-40s or something. And they didn't have all these questions like, I'm going to deny God. He can't exist because of the evil in the world. They never thought that way, or at least not commonly like we do. So help us get to the root of this. We in America need to get over, it's kind of an attitude that doesn't fit with reality.
And I think that it's one of the reasons why we get stuck on the question, why? It's the most common question known to mankind.
Yeah.
And we get stuck there, and that's one of the things that prevents the resilience. A normal short season of why is typical, but we get stuck there because we have an expectation that we're deserving of it going easier.
Yeah, it's like we make God in our image, the way we want him to be.
Yes.
But the Bible says that we are the pot, and he's the potter. He's making us how he wants us to be. Mm-hmm. And the pot has to go through a firing if it's going to be strong mm-hmm. and resilient. Mm-hmm. And he's allowed to do that in our lives. Mm-hmm. If we read scripture mm-hmm. with open minds mm-hmm. and hearts.
Mm-hmm. There are many times in scripture there's a reference to a grapevine as well. And if we study viticulture, we notice that those fruits that are the most quality fruit, those vines that produce the best fruit are those vines that are forced to struggle. They're restricted from getting much water so that the roots will grow deep, deep into the soil. And they're trellised so that they'll be pointed to the sun. And those are the times when those vines produce the most fruit. And it's the exact same in our own lives, that you don't get resilience without suffering. Mm. The strongest people that you know, there's a story there somewhere.
Yes.
You have to have something to bounce back from.
So, Donna, we have talked about how suffering is normative, mm-hmm. not just in the world, but even in America. And the scriptures say there's a reason for it. And so let's focus next on how we can get out of the rut, how we can become those people who are like Jesus, mm-hmm. resilient in our suffering. Right after this break, we'll dive in.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. Scripture Awakening has launched a new Bible study series called Be Next Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible Studies answer the what's next question most people ask after completing our very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next Studies are designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible, so we offer them in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled Rescuing Heroes, which covers the books of Joshua through 2 Samuel. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring the Be Next Rescuing Heroes booklet. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com. Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're so glad you're with us. As we have with us guest Donna Gibbs, a Christian counselor, and she's written a book called Becoming Resilient. You can just Google this. You can find it also in Christian bookstores. But Donna has authored other books, and we looked recently at a book she wrote about insecurities. And Donna, what's the title of that book again on insecurities?
It's called Silencing Insecurity.
Yeah.
Believing God's Truth
Thank
About you.
You. And so this one, though, Becoming Resilient, I'm really impressed with this idea that no matter what we face, God is not just with us to help us get through it. He's going to help us grow through it and become people who press forward and be changed. And so right now, if you, the listener, if you get a list of things you're going through, things that don't seem right, things that maybe have caused you to reject God altogether or to want right now to say, God, I can't talk to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's ask ourselves, how can we grow through it? How do we become resilient? So, Donna, you said the first step then is to just recognize, call it what it is, it's suffering. Is that right?
Acknowledge the specific suffering.
Mm.
And I'm going to give you an example. So if part of a person's story is an abortion in their past, and they're wrestling with the aftermath of that, it's hard for them to say the word. I remember one time sitting in my office with a woman who had never told anyone except her boyfriend. And this was 25 years ago. And when she said the word, we had to grab the trash can because she was physically sick. And there is a sting. It is much like a Band-Aid being ripped off, but the sting will diminish. And it is the first step. We've just got to call it what it is. And so if it's cancer, let's not try to pretty it up. Let's just call it what it is and face it with God's help and with his perspective on it. And that acknowledgement is where we start.
And then we probably have to look at ourselves, I can imagine, and find a way to maybe separate some things out, like create boundaries around our emotions. Or help us here. What is the next step?
Well, there's several other steps here. The rest of these don't necessarily have to go in any particular order.
Okay.
But one thing that I find is so, so helpful is telling the whole story. I have a friend who trains the FBI in lie detection. It's a very fascinating job. It sounds odd that I would bring it up in this context, but he says, we're looking for all the facts. And oftentimes they'll get fact A, fact B, and fact D. And they're all true, but they're missing something. They need fact C. And the same is true in our own story. And prime example is that if you have had a loved one who committed suicide, and that is a tender, tough spot that many people have a difficult time communicating about, but you may carry some guilt, questioning yourself, was there anything that I could have done? It was my fault. I missed something. I missed an opportunity. And this is an example where we have to tell the whole story, because the rest of that story is that you would have never chosen this end for them. You would have never handed them the gun. You would have never given them the pills. I also think of it in the context of the story of Jesus. If we just told of his birth, we told of his ministry, we told of his death, and that was it, then we've missed a huge truth that changes everything, that his resurrection is the important part of that story. And oftentimes in our own tragedies, there is a piece of the story that we must acknowledge, and it frees us.
Yes, that's very good. And it's going to tie to what we could have missed with Jesus, his resurrection, you know, the fact that he reigns on high. It's like, because he reigns on high, and he's given me these promises, I can know that this is going to work for good. Now, Romans 8:28 has become almost a cliche in the Christian world, but it's so true.
It is.
He's going to work it all for good. It, for his glory and my growth. You know, it's just, it's an awesome thought. And I find, Donna, going back to the James 1 passage, if we pray and say, God, please give me wisdom. And if prayer is not just talking to God, but listening.
Yes.
Sometimes we might be listening for a week or a month, but if we really listen, he will tell us. Here, son, here, my daughter, I love you. And here's how I'm going to work good for this.
One of the other tools that we talk about that can free someone from the grip of being stuck is seeing the situation from a different angle. And we have to have that word from God. And we have to listen in order to get that word. You know, much like a mom of a toddler will lay down in the house and look up to see what am I missing that my toddler might get into, that we have to be willing to look at our suffering from various angles. And I'll tell you about a story. Once when I was in Honduras and I walked into this little hut that had just been built. This was a pastor who had been disowned by his family because of his faith. He had nothing. A 10 by 10 hut. There was a tiny piece of styrofoam that was stained and torn. That was where the baby laid. A torn blanket. There was an old towel. There was nothing else in the hut except that. And we were going in putting a primitive stove in. And I looked around that 10 by 10, and all I saw was pain and suffering. I felt horrible for them. All I saw was what they did not have. He walked in that hut right after me in celebration, praising God because he had a home and because he had a stove that he could cook food for his family. We looked at it from a radically different angle. And I walked away from that thinking that is what resilience looks like. He taught me something I needed to see because he saw an angle. We were in the same 10 by 10 space. He saw an angle of it that I could not see. And that is how you get unstuck.
And I imagine it helps sometimes, of course, to remember others that suffer more. And then to remember our Christ, who ultimately took the sins of the world on his back and was separated from his Father, though forever perfect. And how can we complain?
Right.
And there's a
perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, to get that perspective.
You also mentioned balancing those emotional boundaries. That's another tool that gets us unstuck. And what I mean by that is that we don't over-identify with our trial, with our struggle. If there's a history of being raped, then just calling yourself a raped person, there's more to you than that experience in your life. If you've had a car accident that has changed your physical capabilities, you are more than just that car accident. That is an event that has altered some of your functioning, but it doesn't define you. I call those emotional invisible boundaries because no one else can see them. And it takes me to the helmet of salvation that we learn about in the book of Ephesians in that chapter 6, talking about all the tools of warfare. And that helmet of salvation, it protects us from accusations over our identity. And so many times we experience a tragedy or some unwelcomed event in our life. Maybe it's infertility. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's a murder of a loved one. There are all kinds of things that it could be. But I think of that helmet of salvation, and it protects our mind. It protects our thoughts from the accusation that this thing that has entered our life, this unthinkable tragedy, defines us. And it can't define us. We have to have the boundary there.
When we looked together at your book previously on silencing insecurities, we found that in the end, bringing ourselves to the Lord and letting Him speak into the matter and putting Him central is the great cure-all. And I want to say, when it comes to turning a suffering into something not just special, but a place where we can grow, a place where we become stronger, the Lord will help us do that. He knows how. He went through it, and He was going through it with us. So talk about this a little bit, the idea that sometimes what we need, if someone else has afflicted us, is to look at the Lord and know He forgives them, and we choose to forgive. The same way, if we've been hurt and the hurt doesn't seem to go away, we look to the Lord, we ask Him, please heal me. And He can do that.
He is powerful enough to do that. If Jesus can be raised from the dead, He can raise hope into what has felt like a very hopeless situation. He has something to speak to your heart about that situation. And those who are listening, we've touched on some tender spot in their life. There is some point of pain. And my challenge to you is that if you're listening, that you would take a moment just to hear a word of what God wants to say to that. And then part of our healing is agreeing with Him, agreeing with what He has to say, not just about who He is, also about who we are, and agreeing about what He has to say about that point of pain and what He might desire to do with it.
Beautiful. Can you close us saying a prayer for our listeners? And I'm going to receive this blessing over you, from you, over my soul as well, Donna, because we all suffer and we all want to be resilient. And so we need to pray for us and bless us. And I want to give this last plug to the listener. Consider also getting the book, Becoming Resilient. Donna, pray for us.
Yes. God, we want to thank You for Your presence with us in this time. And for those who might be listening, who, God, they're weeping as we talk, because they are overwhelmed by pain. God, I am reminded of Stephen as he was experiencing the stoning. He'd done nothing to earn it. And it's the scriptures say that he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And God, I think of that posture. It's the only time we see that in scripture, Jesus standing. So many things that we stand for, a standing ovation, somebody's done a great concert, a national anthem, the bride's entering, the judge is entering the room, there's a funeral. It means so much. And God, I know that Your posture there was significant. And I don't know all that it means, but I know this, that Stephen's suffering had Your attention. And so God, those that are listening, I pray that they could rest in knowing that their pain has Your attention. I pray that You would draw near to them, that You would give them hope, that You would rescue them from that tragedy having defining power in their life, that You would give them a glimpse of what it could look like in their life to be resilient, to find some purpose in this, to be able to use their spiritual gifts and their strengths again, to be able to watch You do something so unimaginable with their pain that maybe even one day they would say, I wouldn't change it for anything. And I know that there are some listening, God, who cannot imagine being there. But I pray that You would pursue them and that You would entice them to that place, that You would be very close to their broken heart. God, we thank You for joining us where we hurt. We thank You for Your faithfulness. And we thank You, just as Bill has said, for showing us how to experience true resilience in our own lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Donna, for being with us. Thank you to each of you listeners for being with us today as well. We'll see you next week.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.